Hey guys, it's James
and Samuel,
and we are back for another episode of Down the Rabbit Hole, this week talking about the military.
Yeah, basically the government's world police.
Yeah, so more or less everything we talked about with our police episode, but this time in a green uniform instead of a blue one.
Yeah, and global instead of domestic.
Yeah, something like that. But there's a bit more to it. The military, they are still very much government henchmen, but rather than enforcing the government's will locally on its citizens, they enforce the government's will internationally, all over the fucking place. Couple of reasons for this. First off, America, as we've said in a previous series, America is a fucking empire.
Oh, yeah.
Like, period. You don't build an empire without invading, so we kind of have to keep the empire going. We kind of have to go to other countries and establish military presence and scare them.
Divide and conquer.
Yeah, scare them a little bit. Like, even if it's a peaceful presence, it's still very much Americans there.
It's an occupation.
Yeah, an occupation. Annexing, if you will. An invasion.
It's an off-the-books annexation.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't technically own you, but we own you.
Yeah. So, government henchmen, nonetheless, because politicians themselves are not going to go to these countries and do all the fighting that they insist must be done.
Well, of course not. It's just kind of how, like, the boomers are constantly going on and on and on about, you know,
we need more conscription.
Or, like, the conscription, like, actually forcing people into the military. And it's like, well, yeah, of course you support it, because you're not going to be forced into the military, you old piece of shit.
Yeah, we have this crazy system where they keep signing up young men to fight old men's wars. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want war so bad, why don't you go fucking fight it?
Yeah, you go ahead, you pick up, you know, your M16, and you go off to Afghanistan, and you fight, instead of, you know, trying to vote for your favorite politician to force a bunch of young people to go out there and die for bullshit reasons.
Now, the big reason for this isn't just so much occupation, peaceful presence, blah, blah, blah. There's more to it. The empire, more than anything, needs resources.
Oh, yeah.
And what better place to get it than everywhere the fuck else?
Well, yeah, just look at Britain. They basically invaded the world in search of spices just to realize that they fucking hate it.
Yeah. Fucking Brits.
But that's the big thing, is the like obtaining resources, and there's a lot that kind of plays into that. I mean, everybody always knows it's like, oh, a country has oil, time to invade, or no, time to give you some freedom.
Yeah, prepare for the freedom bombs.
But it's not just oil; it's, you know, also things such as poppy, which is heavily grown in Afghanistan.
I am poppy.
But in Afghanistan, there are heavy sanctions on what crops the people can grow there.
Sanctions made by
the United States.
None other than the U.S. government.
But they restrict what they can grow. And oftentimes, it leaves them with only the ability to grow poppy, which, if I'm not mistaken, is for heroin?
Yes. Opiates.
Yeah, opiates. But
opioid. I'm not sure the difference between the two words, but I know it's used for that shit.
Yeah, but basically, I know you've seen pictures of, you know, soldiers walking around guarding the poppy fields.
And if you haven't seen such pictures, Google is your friend. Google, yes, will show you the way.
Google knows the way. But that's another big thing is, you know, they kind of force Afghanis into growing poppy, and then that's a global industry there. That's not just, you know, ship it back to the United States. That's, you know, ship it all around the world and get fuck tons of money for it.
Yeah, whether it's white market by means of big pharma or black market by means of heroin.
Yeah.
Like, either way, that
8 ounces of sweet Mexican black tar heroin.
Hell yeah. That, the poppy fields that America has effectively established in Afghanistan, because let's be real, they weren't going to have poppy fields until America kind of forced their hand.
Yeah, chances are they would be growing other things.
I mean, they probably still would have poppy fields, but among, say, cotton, Can you grow corn in the desert? I don't know. Let's find
out. If you try hard enough.
Yeah. There's a lot of other things that could have grown out there, and they're kind of stuck growing poppy because of American sanctions, which are held up by the American military.
Yep.
They're over there, and they're protecting the poppy fields, yes, because that's an American asset.
Mm-hmm.
It's Afghani farmers farming on Afghani farms, but that's an American asset,
yeah.
Period.
All your resources are belong to us.
Yeah. They so on top of that, obviously, still there is the oil. They will take over and set up their rigs and shit. If they need a rig, they'll do anything they can to export as much oil as they can out to the homeland.
Yeah.
Which is why American gas prices are so fucking low, because we're stealing it from everyone.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, though, if you look at, like, California, it's pretty high, but that's because they tax it so heavily.
That's because they're different. They're special. California
they're
special. Special.
They're kind of their own little country over there.
Yeah.
They really should just be.
They are their own failed experiment.
I think what we need to do is just kind of rig up, you know, explosives along the border of California enough to just break off the entire section of California, just let it drift off into the sea.
Or we can just dig a moat on the border and fill it with alligators. And if they try to cross, we'll shoot them in the legs.
Electrify it with barbs at the top to pierce your flesh.
Build a wall.
That's illegal, Mr. President.
God damn it! What? Actually, that's another thing. The U.S. military has been deployed to the Mexican border. Because they didn't feel the police was mm-hmm. enough, they've deployed them to the Mexican border because they're viewing it as an act of war now.
Even though it really isn't.
It's just people trying to move from one place to another.
It's people trying to escape the cartels that the U.S. government is propping up.
With poppy!
and other things. Was mainly the regulations. But we talked about that last episode, about how they prop up the cartels with that bullshit.
Yeah.
But aside from, you know, just obtaining the resources, like the purpose of the military, another one, is to basically be a show of force.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a passive threat.
They're the answer to the question, you and what army?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, everyone knows the United States has one of the largest militaries in the fucking world, and that's not a good thing. Unless you're a fucking redneck, I guess. But
or an empire.
Or an empire. But America has one of the largest militaries in the world, and they sling their dick around with it. Like, if I want to, fuck, didn't Donald Trump recently made that tweet, I forget what country it was targeted, Turkey, I think?
Yeah.
Turkey, he said something or other about how he'll fuck them up, specifically their economy, but what better way to fuck up someone's economy than with a war that they can't afford? Like, he'll pull that shit. But they swing their dick around. If they want to scare someone, they just say, yeah, my army's bigger than yours. If you want to go to war, we can go to war and I'll win. Like, at this point, the American army doesn't really have a whole lot of fighting they actually have to do, just because they're in such large numbers that number is a threat.
Well, and also given the military spending, like how much is spent on it. Like,
holy fuck.
Basically, if we roll into a country like, you know, like we did Iraq and Afghanistan, you just kind of steamroll them, and then, like, within a few weeks, you're occupying the whole fucking country.
Yeah.
But, people in the military oftentimes don't really see what they're doing.
They're
as
still
bad.
Their role is still just as bad as police.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as bad because they are order followers, period. But they don't see their role as that.
No. Well, I mean, they kind of do. It's like, yeah, their job is to follow orders, but they don't. They feel like the fact, like, and this goes for police as well, you know, they feel like the fact that that they're following orders is what abstains them from guilt.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I was ordered to do this, therefore it is morally correct for me to do this.
This blood isn't on my hands, it's on my commanding officer's hands.
Totally.
Like, yeah, no, you still murdered brown kids, man. That's still wrong. Even the ones that don't directly do any innocent killing, even mm-hmm. the ones that just say mechanics or IT, just anybody in the bloodless categories, you're still perpetuating the war.
Yeah, you're still helping it continue.
That tank couldn't kill people if you didn't fix it.
Yeah. But a lot of these soldiers there, and it's not just soldiers, it's really just the United States in general, where the United States military is highly over-glorified. And what this does is it creates a hero complex.
Support my troops!
Everybody. Like, troops oftentimes think that they're heroes, and then the people that are supporting them also think that they're heroes.
Yeah.
Without actually paying attention to what's really going on.
Like, if another country came and did this exact same thing locally, if say, the tables were turned and we weren't... If we weren't invading Iraq and Afghanistan, what if they invaded here? What if they did the exact same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Would you still see those invaders as heroes, or would you see them as monsters?
Well, and that's the thing is, as well as people get upset when soldiers get killed, it's like, why are you surprised that the people that live there are upset that they've been invaded?
Well, it's an insurgency. They hate us. You know?
There's a reason.
You kind of invaded their country, bombed all their cities, started killing innocent men, women, and children in the streets for no fucking reason half the time.
Yeah.
Like, no wonder they fucking hate you.
Drone-striked weddings aplenty.
Whew.
But if you were to turn the tables and suddenly say Russia invades the United States, you know, people are going to view themselves as, you know, red-blooded patriots for forming an insurgency and fighting back. Meanwhile, that's exactly what, you know, Iraqis and Afghanis are doing, yet we see them as just, you know, savage beasts. It's like, no, they're defending their land. They're defending their home against an invading, occupying force.
There's actually one thing I want to pull from Larkin Rose. It was a bit he did a while back on the military and just how fucked up America's point of view on the military is. If you lived in, say, your local neighborhood and some guy just comes over and says, hey, so there's a bad guy a couple blocks down. We're going to go kill him. It's like, oh, okay, well, I guess take care of him. He comes back and he says, hey, we got the bad guy. Really? Yeah, you know, we just fucking scattered bombs on the area for a couple of months, ran through with our guns and just shot everything we saw. We killed about 500 innocent people, but we definitely got him. Would you still think this guy is a hero? No, this guy's a fucking lunatic. This guy is insane. That's not okay.
Well, and that's also assuming that the person they're going after is even a bad guy to begin with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you have the issues of Gaddafi, who they lied and said that he was using chemical attacks on his own people.
Why would you do this?
That isn't what happened. The reason that they invaded and killed him is because he was forming his own currency that was backed by gold.
Yeah, instead of oil.
Yeah.
And that's a threat to American fiat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at this point, anything is, like, literally cryptocurrency backed by nothing but itself is a threat to American fiat. Like, really?
People, it's funny how much more valuable crypto is.
Oh my god, it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
But the thing is, a lot of these soldiers, some of them realize what they're doing and they just continue to do it. They don't give a fuck. Those are the bad ones, like the exceptionally bad ones. Those are usually the people that join up just for the sake of being able to legally kill people.
The ones that signed up for Call of Duty in real life.
Yeah. But a lot, and I feel like it's safe to say that most join kind of in that brainwashed state of mind.
Yeah, thinking that they're...
I'm fighting for my country, I'm fighting for my freedoms. If I didn't do this, our freedoms would be taken away. It's
if not me, then who?
Yeah.
That bullshit.
But, like, what fucking freedoms are the Afghanis taking away? Because
Thanks for going over there and retrieving my right to bear arms for me.
Because every freedom that we've lost since 9/11 has strictly been at the hands of the United States government.
Yeah.
So if you're truly fighting for our freedom, why are you over in Afghanistan and why are you not storming Washington, D.C.?
Right. Go blow up the White House.
That is not a call to action. That is a joke. But tis for jokes. Legal reason. But they're always in this like brainwashed sense of like a sense of or state of mind that, you know, they're fighting for their country, they're fighting for your freedom, and that's not the case. What you're fighting for is a political oligarchy.
Yeah.
And an empire that is just seeking to expand. And it's really kind of a shame because a lot of people join up with good intentions. Some realize that they've been duped, and usually those are the veterans that come out of it as either libertarians or anarchists.
I've met a couple of them myself. They're all right guys.
Yeah. But then you also have the people that kind of just stay in that state of mind of, yeah, I was off fighting for your freedom. Thank me for my service. Like, the serious hero complex. It's like, no, I'm not going to thank you because you fucking went and killed some kids over in Afghanistan. That didn't fucking serve me at all.
Didn't serve anyone.
No.
I'm glad you got a violence boner. Good for you. Please die.
Yeah, it's like, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself with your manic killings over in Afghanistan. But
side question, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But the big reason that they need this brainwashing, that they need the soldiers and the populace to think that, you know, they're fighting for freedom, is because ultimately they need obedience.
Yeah.
Especially among the military.
If they tell you hard enough, we are fighting for this, if you fight with us, you are fighting for this, then you're more likely to obey.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these people, they sign up to be order followers. They sign up just as long as they have a good goal in their mind, they don't care what means it takes to get to that end. They're gonna do it, and it takes a lot for a lot of them to snap out of it. It takes paying attention to what they're doing, like.
That's the thing, is a lot of them don't fully pay attention to what they're doing.
They go into autopilot when they go get deployed.
Yeah, and they don't... I feel like if a lot of soldiers were kind of to put themselves in the shoes of the Afghanis and Iraqis, they'd kind of feel differently. Like, just put yourself in that position of, you know, foreigners invaded your country for a lie. Which, you know, with Iraq, it was the WMDs. With Afghanistan, it was 9/11. Even though, provided the official story is even semi-true, it would have been the Saudi Arabians, not the fucking Afghanis.
Ah, who cares?
But who
cares?
They're
brown people in the Middle East.
And that's all that matters. But if you were to put yourself in their shoes and have your country invaded over a lie, they steamroll your people, they're, you know, drone striking weddings, they're just indiscriminately killing with airstrikes and drone strikes. Wouldn't you take up arms against them? Wouldn't you fight to try and liberate your country from the occupying force?
No, you're expected to just sit there and take it.
Yeah, just lay down and take it because we're giving you freedom and democracy.
If I kill you, you'll be free. But, can't be oppressed if you're dead.
Yeah. But the thing is, even when these people come back, like once their duty has been served and they've done what the government wanted of them, oftentimes they don't get a very kingly treatment when they come back.
No.
They fully expect it. Not all of them, but a lot of them, especially the grunts. They fully expect to be like living royalty when they come back.
They're expecting a bunch of hurrahs. They're expecting nothing but drinking and free shit because they fought for it. They're expecting to be treated pretty fucking well.
And also treated well by the government.
It's
like, I mean, shouldn't they be appreciative? You went out and fought for them? No, they don't give a fuck. Because to the government, the military is just a tool.
Yeah.
Every soldier is not a person, they are a tool to be used. And what do you do when a tool has been used up and is broken beyond repair and has outlived its use?
Normally I weld it.
You fucking throw it to the side.
Oh, throw it away, that's right, yeah.
You can't weld a human being, James.
Not with that attitude.
Flesh sculpting.
Don't you tell me what I can't do.
But they oftentimes just get discarded. They're thrown off to the side. Like, the VA is an absolute fucking joke. Like, I've heard the horror stories of people just, like, going for a regular checkup that they oftentimes schedule for you, and then having to sit in a waiting room for 4 or 5 hours to be seen. Just for a basic little 10-minute checkup.
For the most basic of basic shit.
Mm-hmm. Or I have one friend who's a veteran, and when, like, basically the VA will just make appointments for them, and oftentimes it's like an hour or two away from where they live, so they have to drive out to this VA facility, you know, basically dedicate a whole damn day to just getting a basic checkup so that they can keep their benefits for being injured while they were in the military.
Yeah.
But...
And then you see... Beyond that, beyond the horrors that is the VA, lots of homeless soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of homeless soldiers.
Not to mention also the suicide rates.
Oh, my God, the suicide rates. They honestly, more soldiers die of suicide. At this point, more of them die from suicide than from combat.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's shameful and pathetic, and none of you will ever see Valhalla.
But, yeah, that's the thing, is not very many soldiers are killed. Like, actually outright, like, you know, killed in deployment.
No.
Like, the numbers are actually pretty fucking low. It's surprisingly low.
I mean, at the same time, they would have to be killed by the alleged enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You can really tell that these people mean peace when they're not killing people.
Well, and also, it's like, we're past the point of war. This isn't so much a war anymore, so much as occupation.
Yeah.
That's all it is at this point.
It's just an occupation.
Like, every here and again, an insurgency group will pop their head up, little firefight happens, you know, they fucking rain hell with $40 million worth of ordnance to kill 5 guys, and then everything goes back to the normal everyday occupation.
They use a $1 million plane to drop $3 million worth of bombs to destroy a $50 shack.
And all they managed to do is kill a goat.
Fuck that goat.
No, don't fuck the goat, James.
It's the Middle East. Do what you want.
But that's the thing, is the suicide rates, the horror, like the horror stories of trying to just get shit done at the VA. Like, the veterans, they don't really give a fuck. Because, like, they've outlived their usefulness. And that's all a soldier is to a politician.
Just a tool.
Yeah, they're just...
Once they're no longer usable for combat or anything, they normally get medically discharged or whatever. They get the boot. They're mm-hmm. out. The government no longer gives a shit about them. You're on your own. Good luck not dying. And very little of their experience as far as combat goes, very little of that is applicable outside of the military.
Yeah, like, especially for grunts. They usually come out with PTSD, pretty fucked in the head, and with no applicable skills or experience to go into the civilian world again.
Right? Like, they'll probably end up being a used car salesman. I've met enough veterans that are used car salesmen. Like, guys, stop. This is... You look ridiculous.
Why is this your only profession of choice? Use the fucking GI Bill. Get into a trade. Damn.
Right? It's just... They have very little applicable experience outside of the military. They have a hard time getting a fucking job because they became a tool that shaped itself for a single purpose, a disgusting single purpose, and then once that usefulness is gone, they don't know what to do with themselves. So they usually end up, if they didn't set themselves up while they were in, if they didn't buy the house and the charger and the trophy wife, if they didn't get all of that, they're usually homeless.
Yeah.
Most of the time. And I don't give them money. Fuck them. They made these decisions. They are responsible for this. I'm not helping.
Well, and also when it comes to giving money to beggars, you never know who's just a hobo that's decided to live that way or if somebody's a fucking professional beggar.
Nah.
Like, get off the corner from begging to get into their fucking Lamborghini and drive away. Thanks. That's cool.
I don't know. I'd say veterans are professional beggars. They got pretty good at getting money handed to them and doing what they want with it. Bunch of welfare whores.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. But with that said, let's just end it on that note. The note of welfare whores. But that wraps up another episode of Down the Rabbit Hole. I'm a little low energy right now. I'm a Jeb Bush because I'm fucking tired. But we're kind of trying to squeeze in these recordings where we can. Right now I'm off work for Yom Kippur. So basically we're actually able to record right now. But kind with of. With me and James's schedules conflicting pretty severely. I mean, it's 1 a.m. right now and we're recording this. James has been home for all of like 2 hours. But we're getting it done. We're doing our best. Hopefully should be at the end of October our scheduling can go back to normal. I mean, you guys kind of see the same thing every week.
Yeah.
But for us, it's very, very weird.
We're just fucked up for this whole month. So yeah. this series is going to be a little strange. It's staying strange. We're keeping it strange. We're making sure. But November should be a lot easier going. Should be a bit better energy, better vibes.
Yeah, not having to stay up till 1 a.m. on my day off so that we can fucking get some recording done. But yeah, this episode, we're recording it. Technically, it's Wednesday the 9th at 1 a.m. This won't even be posted till next week. Yeah. But we have to record it now because we don't know when we'll be able to. But with that said, guys, thank you for tuning in.
Fuck the state. Fuck the troops. Fuck the poppy fields.
Fuck. No, not the poppy fields.
No, not but, the poppy.
But yeah, with that said, guys, thanks for tuning in. And try not to die.
Stay sexy.